It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
All right, you can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. Here is your chance. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Ask the Killer Bees whatever your little heart desires. Or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Lemmy says, who attracts more, Gallant or BK's porn stash?
Just ask Paul. He'll tell you it's him.
Yeah, Paul would.
He's very confident.
BK's a little bit more, I guess.
Reserved.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. We'll go with
Paul
that
loves
answer.
Him some him, and he's not afraid to let you know that he loves him some him, and you should love him too.
Yeah, I like the way that you put that. I'm just gonna piggyback off of that. 713-780-ESPN, our Mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 8105. Caleb Williams is the best college football quarterback. Should the Texans do whatever they can to try to pick up Caleb Williams?
Did you watch that game?
Of course, he's not eligible until 2024. Yeah. I got bits and pieces of it, but I watched probably the second half of the fourth quarter.
He's been criticized lately for body language and things like that, and you saw a little bit of that during the game, but it is undeniable the talent that's there. Like, some of the zip throws that he made where he just let it rip and they were on target, and the fact that he can run, he got me to be a little bit more of a believer than I was when he was at Oklahoma. He looked a hell of a lot better in that game.
So are you doing whatever it takes
to
bring in Caleb Williams?
I'm still a Bryce Young guy.
I don't think you can run the risk of being in a spot where you can't do it. And, like, people go backwards all the time. Like, Hendon Hooker tore his ACL, poor guy, this weekend. Like, you can't put it in the bank, right? You can't put it in the bank. You have an opportunity with the number one pick in 2023 to put it in the bank.
The biggest thing that you could do is take the risk and the chance of waiting a year and then trying to put all your eggs in that basket, and then you catch a couple of fluke wins, or something happens one way or the other where you don't get the pick necessary or the top pick in the draft. You've got to play for the moment, and the moment is this year where you have the top pick and take the best quarterback.
Now, if you hate all three...
Well, then you go defense.
It'll
be the Washington football team, now known as the Commanders.
But if you hate all three and you're right, okay. Like, if you don't take a quarterback, you're going to be criticized.
You still got to get the guy the next year.
Sure.
You got to have the draft capital. And they do. You're right.
And they do.
But then you got to get a taker, too. You get a guy, the team at the top of the draft, that isn't willing to give up that pick because they need a quarterback, too.
Look,
you're SOL.
I'm with you. I'm saying the only way they don't do it is if they hate all three. They hate Bryce, they hate CJ, they hate Levis. 713-780-ESPN, our Mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-3776. Go out to the HRMP listener line for Pena. Pena, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hey, what's up, guys? So my question for y'all is, would you take an Astros three-peat only if your mother-in-law had to live with you for the next 5 years?
Absolutely. I love my mother-in-law dearly. I would take an Astros three-peat from my... I like when my mother-in-law visits because she's always very helpful. She always helps out with the Branham baby and our eldest son. She always helps out around the house. I mean, absolutely. That's an easy one for me.
I'm not saying it will change your answer, but let's clarify here, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Stays with you versus lives with you for 5 years are not the same thing.
Hold on, what?
That's a fact.
You said you like when she stays with you or something like that.
No, she lives. No, absolutely. I would have no problem with it at all.
There's a big gap in the two.
You're right. I'm glad you clarified. Lived with me for 5 years. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love her dearly. We call her Bebe, and I love her.
You call her what?
We call her Bebe.
Bebe? Your Bebe is your mother-in-law? That could be taken the wrong way.
It's what our eldest son called her when he was very little, and it is stuck. Just like everybody has a nana or, you know, whatever. She's Bebe. What about you? You answer the question.
The question here, you mean Kelvin Sampson's basketball team seemed to struggle offensively?
Would you take an Astros three-peat if it meant that your mother-in-law lived with you for 5 years?
I've experienced my mother-in-law living with us for up to 6-7 weeks at a time, so I could handle that, and the fact that they're Dodger fans, and that I could really kind of, if there were paybacks necessary, I could just get real loud and celebrating the three-peat. I could handle it.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm single, and I have a hard time saying yes to this question.
You don't even know who your mother-in-law
is. I just, anybody living with me for 5 years is
I don't disagree.
I love living by myself. Living with anybody. I've had one roommate, hated the experience. I mean, he sucked, but it's like forever scarred me from living with
other people. So you didn't embrace the suck when he sucked?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay.
My roommates, I've always enjoyed living with them. They haven't always enjoyed living with me. 713-780-ESPN, our mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-3776. 4488 with the stupidest question of stupidest questions. Why does Kelvin Sampson's basketball teams always seem to struggle offensively? Does he spend too much time teaching defense? The Houston Cougars, like the last 5 years, are always top 10 in KenPom offensive efficiency. They are, for the last five seasons, one of the best offensive teams in the country, according to the metrics.
They shoot the three. They run the break.
That is ignorant. Ignorant question.
Defense turns into offense. Yeah, that's nuts.
Now, points per game, they might not be that high because their defense, like, forces the other offense to take a lot of time, so it shortens the game.
They're suffocating.
But the Cougars basketball team offensive efficiency has been one of the very best in all of the country for like the last 5 years. Stupid question. 713-780-ESPN. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-3776. Sal says, will Justin Verlander still go to a Hall of Fame as a Detroit Tiger?
I mean, yeah. I don't care that much about it, but yeah, it seems to be a big pressing issue that comes up a lot on this show. And if people are concerned and worried about it, stop worrying and being concerned. He's not going in as an Astro. He's going in as a Tiger.
I agree with you 99.9%. The 0.1% that Justin Verlander would go in to the Hall of Fame as a Houston Astro would require a few things. It would require him finishing his career with the Houston Astros, so it needs to sign here with the Astros, remain with the Astros for the duration of his career. Get to 300 wins, which is in play. Get to 4,000 strikeouts, which is in play.
Yep.
I think that might do it. I think that might do it. That's the only plausible way that there's any sort of chance that Justin Verlander goes into the Hall of Fame as an Astro. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday, what's your question for the Killer Bees? Buddy says, Hendon Hooker starts falling in the draft. There's no doubt. He just tore his ACL. Yep. He's going to slip. How far? Who knows? What round are you willing to take him in?
I mean, depending on how the draft goes and because of his injury that a lot of teams are going to stay away from.
It also depends what team you are.
That's true. But if you're in need of a quarterback, but you're willing to wait, I think that you could Davis Mills him. If you could get him in the third round again. You could look at
get him in the third round, you would be stupid not to.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So if you get him in the third round again, especially if you take a quarterback number one with your first round pick, then you could still take him. Then you've got a Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins scenario where you've got built-in competition, you got two young quarterbacks on your roster, you have options all over the place. Teams are also going to be monitoring it to see what you'd be willing to give up for one of those guys. Yep. And I think you'd be in a position of strength. So if he's available in the third round, you take him.
I don't think he's going to be available in the third round is the thing. Like, remember Willis McGahee, he tore up his knee, and he's a running back. Now, this was a little bit more back in the day whenever it was a little more popular to take running backs early in drafts than it is now. Willis McGahee, he still went first round. Hendon Hooker was being looked at as a first round quarterback coming up.
Older guy, too, though.
Older guy, and you're going to lose a year now.
Yep. So I think that third round is realistic to where if he's there, I take him, and sure, I like the competition. Sure. I'm not going higher than that.
I would make a bet right now that Hendon Hooker will be selected in the first two rounds. I still believe Hendon Hooker will be selected in the first two rounds. Now, again, this is why team matters. Like, if I'm the Texans, I'm not drafting Hendon Hooker in the first two rounds.
A lot of teams are going to want to see the medicals. They're going to know how.
Well, we know the medical. He's got torn ACL.
But I'm saying, but a lot of it is like when they do the medicals, it's what's the other ligaments around the knee look like? What, you know, how the extent of the actual tear and the repair, and those kind of things are going to matter a lot.
I would be willing to bet he's going to go top two. If you can get him in the third. Top two rounds. Yeah. I think Hendon Hooker will still go top two rounds because of the talent. You're going to have to wait a year. You're going to have to redshirt me. But this is where.
I think age and surgery means third round.
Absolutely. Like, well, we disagree on the round, but the age and surgery are a huge factor, a huge influence of why he'd be sliding into the draft. Think about it if you're a team that has a veteran quarterback. Like, if you're Tampa Bay, and you still have Brady, you have a late pick in the second round, you redshirt Hendon Hooker for a year behind Tom Brady. The Packers might not be a great example of this year.
But a lot of teams that are not in urgent need now, but know in the next year or two, that's a good call right
Minnesota.
There.
Minnesota. I mean, they did it with Kellen Mond, but they hated Kellen Mond and cut him, and he's with the Cleveland Browns now. So, like, teams like that, teams that have late picks.
Denver Broncos.
They're going to be early, though, and they have so much money invested on Russell Wilson. Now,
but you realize there's going to be an end game that might be sooner than you thought when you signed them to a massively stupid deal.
Maybe see, do they have Seattle second rounder? Because that could be late second. Like, that would make sense. Seattle makes sense, right? Like, I mean, Geno's behind Geno Smith for a year.
Remarkably well, but not. I don't expect it to be for the long term.
I am fascinated where Hendon Hooker goes in this draft. I think there is value to be had. I think the value starts to come into play late second round. If you get him in the third round, like you said, yeah, I love that idea. 713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday. Tone says, when do y'all go holiday shopping? I love waiting to the absolute last minute. I don't know why, though.
I mean, now, thankfully, with the internet and everything like that, it's definitely not going to be around this week and not Black Friday. But, you know, I think when I get a pretty clear understanding of what's top of the wish list for the people that matter most to me, then I'll start dabbling in it. But yeah. I definitely procrastinate quite a bit when it comes to that.
I do, too. It's awful. I am not very good about it. I usually wait
I'm
like
not
December.
Last-minute guy. Yeah, December for sure.
December,
but I'm not
minimum.
Like day before Christmas Eve guy. I'm not that guy,
yeah.
But I definitely wait.
I need to get on that. 1970. Thanks for the reminder. 1970. How many old roommates do you guys still talk to, not including exes? I only had one roommate. It was in college. His name was Brandon. I still talk to Brandon on a daily basis.
Daily?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But he hated living with me, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Yeah, I talk to him daily. Brandon's a good friend. Now, he has terrible trade offers, but he's a good friend.
My college roommate and I definitely speak. He's back in Wisconsin. We speak a couple times a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have a great relationship. So that for sure. If you want to say roommate or not, but on multiple occasions, friends of mine that were on hard times stayed with me for extended periods of time, and we all still are very good friends. So I think, yeah, that's enough.
The one roommate I referred to, the reason that we ended up living together, I mean, we worked together for a short period of time, but we became friends through playing video games together. And we don't really play together actively anymore, but we have a lot of the same group of friends.
Yeah.
So every few months, we'll end up in a game together, and it's like running into your ex. That is what it feels like, because I carry so much resentment towards this man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Why?
I couldn't. First of all, it's too much for the radio. Second of all, it is.
I tried.
Maybe we should see.
I'll
be the judge of that.
I'll tell you guys about it off air, but it's also, it was just a long story.
4484, Joel, list your top three radio partners in order. If I'm not at the top of this list, something's wrong with you.
Look at the time.
713-780-ESPN. What's Lovie Smith's level of responsibility for this lousy Texan season?
You realize I worked with Charlie Pulillo for an extended period of time.
I don't know if that's...
Someone reminded me of that today in the gym. I almost forgot.
Your laundry list, by the way, is like
it's
Jeter.
Pretty long.
It's like Jeter.
Oh,
713-780-ESPN. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we'll get into the Lovie Smith conversation here in a little bit. Lovie's level of responsibility for the Texans' lousy 1-8-1 season to this point.
He doesn't Lovie Brian T. Smith.
I knew that Lovie was going to snap to the media this year. I watched enough of his defensive coordinator press conferences last year to know that Lovie was eventually going to snap to the media. We got some best of the sound coming up here in a little bit. But Chris was the texter that asked about the Houston Cougar basketball offense that I said was the worst question of worst questions or something like this. This is that, Chris, Brendan? All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. We enjoy conflict just as much as you do. So let's bring Chris in here. Chris, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah. The stupidest question in the mailbag of the day. I'll take that honor. but let me back up my stupid question point. We're talking about offense, the eye test, the half court is what I was talking about, Jeremy. I'm not talking about offensive putbacks. We all know that U of H is one of the top offensive rebounding teams in the country since Calvin's been there. You can make layup and have a high percentage. I'm talking
Kevin.
About, let's take last night. You were there. I saw you on TV behind, trying to see around Calvin Sampson the whole game.
He was blocking my view. I was going to ask him to move.
Strapping young lad amongst the trees that are painted on the court.
That was funny, Jeremy. You're getting dizzy going back and forth like that.
It was a workout.
They were taking the shot clock down to 8-9 seconds for like the last 10 minutes. I guess part of that is strategy, trying to take the air out of the ball. I understand, but I mean, it's take it down to 5 seconds and then someone jacks up the three. I mean, there's the half court offense, Jeremy, is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how many
Tell
points
you score
Jeremy. And all that.
Well, I appreciate the call.
Get into it, Jeremy.
And I'm always willing to talk Cougar basketball. It's one of my favorite things
Tell
to
us,
do.
Jeremy.
Look, Oregon was in a zone yesterday, so that's probably why you saw the Cougars take some time off the shot clock. Plus, the Oregon was running some pressure. Like, they were having some token pressure to force the Cougars to not get it across half court until 22-23 on the shot clock. Then they camped out in their zone defense with 3 7-footers, and you're trying to pass the ball around the perimeter, get the best shot that you can. The Cougars yesterday shot 43%. Pretty good. They shot 50% from three. Pretty good. They have one of the best offensive guards in the country in Marcus Sasser. Jairus Walker, who only played 23 minutes yesterday because he was in heavy foul trouble, is going to be a player who averages in double figures as well. Tremont Mark's an offensive weapon. Terrence Arsenault was outstanding yesterday with 15 points. They have a lot of offensive weapons. Did I tell you they shot 50% from three yesterday, passing it around the perimeter against the zone defense? Each of the last three years, the Cougars have finished third, top 10 the last 3 years in offensive efficiency, which is points per game, or points per possession, rather. Like, you can't tell me that a team that's top 10 in offensive efficiency, top 10 in offensive points per possession, is not a good offense. That's just not true.
Well, see,
you're looking at the overall points per game and like, well, okay, they're not scoring a lot of points. Per possession, they're one of the very best teams in the country.
Well, see, I'm just gonna interject here because I know he only wanted to hear from you and he addressed you by name multiple times. But I think the other thing is, each game is different too. I think the game that he's being critical of, and he's to your point, 3 7-footers on the floor. I mean, you play a game like that differently in terms of how you attack and what you choose to do and not do, as you would, you know, to a team that, whether you know your strength is to be able to get out athletically and run on a really slow team that wants to play half court, and you use your defense, which they obviously do, and he even made reference to it in the text. But when you turn defense into good offense, that's when the Cougars can excel because they can play so many different ways. I think that's why, to say because of one game, you're going to say be critical of their offense. Well, you know what? Every game's different, and this team can adapt to play so many different ways. But like you said, if you can shoot the three ball, you can attack the basket when you do get out in transition. You can play up tempo when you want to, and when you have to, you can slow it down. That's the sign of a team that's ranked exactly where they should be.
And Oregon was trying to do that yesterday. They were
and
trying to
deep.
Slow down the Cougar offense. They were trying to get them late in shot clock. They were limiting the amount of time they had on the shot clock by using token full-court pressure. So the Cougars had to walk it up, work to get it across half court. And then they played the zone, a very big zone. And that Dante kid in the middle, man, he's impressive too. But you're right. They have a lot of options. They have a lot of versatility with what they can do offensively.
Text
I'm not
me,
worried
Chris.
About their offense.
Call me by name, Chris, and text me.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Twitch is asking how we felt about that Oregon court. I will say that, like, I've seen it on TV, obviously.
I asked you about it today, calling a game.
You don't notice it as much in person. You really don't.
See, now, here's where I would ask you the question. If you were positioned, you were on the court last night.
Yes.
So it's different. If you're positioned where the Rockets broadcasters are, it's a totally
different.
More
aerial.
Yeah, because now you're up at the top of the first level, and now the court actually does come into play as you get depth perception and you're calling a game.
But you're being flat on it, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see it. Like, I have the table here. I'm like eye to eye with, like, the player's waist, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you're not
you
watching
can't notice.
Shoes and socks and unless there's a loose ball. You're watching head and shoulders and above the rim and the ball going up and things like that. But I think that if you called games where we called Rockets games from,
you're right.
I think it would definitely come into play.
You're absolutely right. Because I did walk up to, like, the concourse and, like, it looks like what it looks like on TV. It's different.
If you notice, this Golden State's doing this now, too. They got it from Brooklyn. But they do that real heavy gray, black and white treatment on the court to where the guys on the floor pop, but the color pops too, but then Brooklyn wears black and white. So all you really notice is the other team and whatever colors pop on you, but it's a really weird thing that seems to be the new fad in basketball, where at least in the NBA, where they're doing that. I don't know if Golden State did it the other night. It's like literally like gray, black and white, but it really makes everything jump to the eyeball.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, wasn't a huge fan of the court, but you couldn't really see it, like, from my position that you
The building still, have they renovated it at all?
It's nice. It's fairly new. I mean, it's probably like 10 years old, maybe.
Okay, so when I was with the Blazers,
you're talking about MacArthur Court?
Yeah, I'm talking about the old one.
That's long gone. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Matthew Knight Arena now, which is named after Phil Knight's
son.
Yeah, who died in a scuba diving accident. That's terrible.
I didn't know that.
$224 million. Like, yeah, that's pretty nice. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Texans lost football yesterday. They're 1-8-1 through 10 games this season. It doesn't look like another win's in sight. The next opportunity it looks like the Texans could win is against Jacksonville. Is that their final game or second? Their penultimate game? I can't remember. It's one of the last two games of the year. But what is Lovie's level of responsibility for how lousy the Houston Texans have been this season?
Well, I mean, look, I think a lot of people can say that he was a last-minute hire and that, you know, he basically did a lot of internal hiring in terms of promoting and putting together his staff. But at the end of the day, you are the top of the pie chart from football, from a coaching perspective. You're expected to perform well. When your team doesn't, it's on you, and then subsequently on your coordinators and as you go up and down the line to the position coaches. I think a lot falls on his shoulders. I think that, you know, he and Nick, though it does seem like they have a good relationship, there's a lot of communication there. But I think Nick has even stepped back a little bit as opposed to David Culley when we knew he was meddling. He was constantly doing things that were a distraction and were unorthodox that you could point to and say, well, that's not really fair for a coach. He's been there, done that, been a head coach on college and the NFL game before. And I think that, you know, whether you like it or not, a lot has to fall on his shoulders. The problem also being is that you can't have another coach one and done for factors more than just football.
I'm calling Lovie Smith the interim head coach of the Houston Texans from now on. And look, I think Lovie was doomed from day one. The Texans didn't really have a chance to win football games this year. The roster was not suited to do that. We've been telling you that since the offseason when other people thought they might win 7 or 8 games. That was not reasonable with where the Texans were relative to the rest of the NFL. I don't think Lovie's had a chance. I always use the analogies playing chess with a bunch of pawns. I still don't think Lovie Smith is mediocre NFL head coach. I think he's bottom third NFL head coach. We told you this the day after he was hired and everybody was throwing parades about how they won the press conference. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
When they were, we won the press conference. Texans are, it's a new day. No, Lovie Smith is the interim head coach of the Houston Texans. He's the interim head coach of the Houston Texans who took the spot of David Culley, who he was on David Culley's staff. The Texans hired from within because they felt David Culley was incompetent, and they hired from within a 4-win team and hired the defensive coordinator. Lovie Smith is a glorified interim head coach for the Houston Texans. They promoted Pep Hamilton. They did nothing different. This is the same coaching staff from a year ago, except Lovie's the head coach.
His son's coaching the linebackers. Yeah. They're all still there.
You know what it is? This is what happens for NFL teams when they fire a coach midseason. What do you do, except for the Colts, when you fire a coach midseason? You announce someone as the interim and you kind of elevate everybody else. The Texans just did that in the offseason instead of the midseason. Lovie Smith is the interim head coach for the Houston Texans, the same coaching staff from a year ago. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Jaguars, second to last game.
Second to last game. Penultimate
Colts
game.
Last game when you get to see yourself Saturday.
I knew it was Jags and Colts final two. I couldn't remember the order for them, though. All right, so what's Lovie's level of responsibility for the Texans? Interim head coach Lovie Smith, 713-780-3776. And we've buried the lead today. The best thing that happened from an entertainment perspective yesterday was Smith versus Smith. Lovie versus Brian T. My favorite part of the Lovie blow-up from yesterday. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What's Lovie's level of responsibility? Interim head coach Lovie Smith. What is his level of responsibility for the Texans season? 1-8-1. Texans just promoted from within a 4-win team and hired the defensive coordinator from the 4-win team and had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They had one of the worst offenses. They hired from within to fill the offensive coordinator position, Pep Hamilton, and the offense has somehow gotten worse under Pep Hamilton. But anyways, Brian T. Smith, Lovie Smith yesterday, press conference after the game. Lovie Smith said today like 100 times during this press conference. But Brian T. started to talk about, which, by the way, I asked this to Bill O'Brien once, his reaction to how the crowd, like the crowd was booing Bill O'Brien after like a 9-game winning streak. They were playing bad against the Colts. I said, what do you think of the crowd booing? And Bill O'Brien's like, well, we got to do better questions than that. That's a stupid question. Got really mad at me. Brian T. Smith then asked the very next question after that.
Bill O'Brien got mad at the
media? Yeah, Teapot Bill got mad at me. But anyways, here's what I thought. You know this by now. Brian T. Smith, Lovie Smith, big argument between the two, blow up between the two. Here was my favorite part of this Lovie Smith blow up yesterday at NRG.
Yeah, we've been booed, yes. And every time something is bad, fans are going to boo, and they have a right to do that. What is your question?
I was going to ask my question.
What is
How does this get better? How do you improve this?
By putting a better product on the football field.
Why didn't that happen today?
Because I didn't think I should do it today.
Oh, that was so good. Why didn't it happen? I didn't think I should do it today. Which interim head coach in NFL history is like, you know what? We can do better. We can perform better. We can execute better. But I don't want to do it today.
You know, it's a coach that he understands the process. He knows what to embrace at the right time. And he knows that this organization is embracing Davis Mills for this full season. And I understand that Brian T. Smith has a job to do, and maybe I almost applaud him because we know that there's a lack of media members in this town that are willing to go back and forth with a coach and ask the tough question. And, you know, when Bill O'Brien used to get cantankerous and get testy and go, that was the sign that you were supposed to back down and just walk away. I like a guy, like, I respect Barry Warner for the fact that if nothing else, if a coach went at Barry, Barry went right back at said coach and wasn't going to just let him get away with that.
Yeah, it's just hilarious that, oh, we could have done better, but just not today. Why not? Well, I didn't want to do it today. That's why, Brian. I didn't want to be better today.
Well, I think he meant, you know, I didn't want to make a quarterback change in the middle of the game.
I don't know, man. Like, I play that again for us, Brendan. Play that part again where Lovie, like, that was my favorite part. I didn't want to do it today. Let's see what Lovie was talking about here.
Yeah, we've been booed, yes. And every time something is bad, fans are going to boo, and they have a right to do that. What is your question?
I was going to ask my question.
What is it?
How does this get better? How do you improve this?
By putting a better product on the football field.
Why didn't that happen today?
Because I didn't think I should do it today.
See, but I think that the context...
He said he wants to put a better product on the field.
But Brian T. was also trying to get back to the quarterback, and I think that it started, and I may be wrong, but I think it started with quarterback conversation about making a change.
Yeah, that was like the first question.
Yeah.
And I think Brian T. had like the third question.
I think, yeah, and he wanted to get back into that again.
Maybe.
So maybe that's where I was taking it, was that... Brian T. was kind of hinting at making a change at quarterback that Lovie isn't willing to make.
But it was funny, though. I mean, like, we got to do a better job of putting a better product in the field. Well, why aren't you? I didn't want to do it today. Like, that is one of my favorite sound bites I've ever heard. Here was Lovie, too, on why they weren't better last night.
Why were you guys not better today?
I'm not going to tell you that, right? I mean, what do you expect me to say right now? We just got beat.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to do it today. I'm not going to tell you that. Lovie was a little bit flustered by Brian T. Smith. Like, I didn't think Lovie handled that pressure all that well, as you can tell. I don't think there's anything Lovie can do. I don't mind Brian T. challenging him either. I think we should see some more of that. Brian T. Smith is tired of hearing this positive Lovie Smith, positive interim head coach Lovie Smith with this positive spin of a one-win team. Like, we had realistic expectations, so we thought that this was feasible, that this was possible, that the Texans would have one win to this point. Like, I don't understand the anger. Like, I don't understand why everybody's mad. You should have known the Texans that this was possible. But I like the challenging questions at press conferences. I think it's a good thing. I like it from Houston media. I don't think Lovie handled it that well. That said, like, everybody, like, oh, bench Davis Mills. Why? Fire Pep Hamilton. Why? Like, what is there to accomplish
here?
You're
not trying to make the playoffs. You're not trying to improve your standing right now. You know the season essentially is over. You're playing out the string because of the fact that have you been officially eliminated? You're not the first team to be officially eliminated.
Because
of the extended playoff format those social media posts come out yet that that's always a big joke and a laugher when so-and-so is the first team officially eliminated, but you already know you've been officially eliminated without being officially eliminated. So There's no reason to make a quarterback change. We said this even before we got to this point. We said it all season long. He should be the starting quarterback for this team, barring injury, for all 17 games. And you will get a clear understanding of what you got, what he doesn't have, and what you need to do. It's that simple.
Texans have not, they haven't been officially eliminated.
Yep, that's
maybe,
what I was going to say.
Maybe that's why,
playoff format.
Maybe that's why Brian T. Smith wants to change at quarterback. He thinks that this team has a playoff run in it. That's why the Beehive that loves the Houston Texans think there should be a change at quarterback. They think that the Texans have a playoff run in them. I wonder if Cody thinks the Texans have a playoff run in them. Like, this is like, maybe that's why there's change. Maybe that's why everybody's angry. Maybe I failed as a talk show host in the city of Houston to not realize that the Texans still had a possibility to make the playoffs. And for that possibility to come to fruition, they need to bench Davis Mills for Kyle Allen. They need to replace the nose tackle for whoever the backup nose tackle is. Look, Lovie didn't handle the pressure great. I like Brian T. Smith's challenging questions. I don't understand the anger with this team. I don't understand why everybody's mad. You should have saw it coming. And what is it going to do? You replace Davis Mills for Allen. You replace right linebacker for outside, backup outside linebacker. What are you accomplishing? You're just making change to make change.
Well, I think that I understand the frustration from Lovie's perspective because no matter what, yeah, no matter what you...
I'm talking about fan base. I'm talking about Brian T. Smith.
Right. I mean, like, suddenly people are saying yesterday, too, the fans have finally had enough. They're showing they're showing management their disdain by not showing up. The majority of those tickets are sold, by the way. They just don't show up to the games.
And, like, could you get more fed up? Like, I didn't even know that existed, right? Because I talk a lot about approval rating. I think approval rating is kind of like a good way to look at this. Approval rating is anywhere from 0 to 100. What was the approval rating of the Texans before kickoff yesterday?
Probably
10, 9? Like, I mean, pretty low, right? Pretty close to rock bottom. Did it go a couple of points closer to rock bottom?
You're talking about out of 100?
Did it go from a 10 to a 5 yesterday? Did it go from a 5 to a 0? Like, okay, great. Like, so it doesn't really matter.
Here's the thing. We're judging it before the game started, too, before you had to watch that start-to-finish ass-kicking and debacle that took place. So before the game started, was it any different than it was all of last week or all of this season, maybe barring the first game of the year? That you were supposed to, you know, the first couple games where you expected the unexpected, I don't think it would have gone down before the game. I think that, it's obviously the level of frustration is, look, it's not getting any better. The players that you were hoping for in the case of Davis Mills or expecting in the case of like a Kenyon Green, maybe too soon, they're not living up to expectations in that game. They got their ass whooped. But that doesn't mean, that's where I could see the number go down. But at the same time, this is where the false expectations of what did you really truly expect?
Yeah, I don't understand the idea. Like 3-2-2-7, I think benching Mills is a bad idea. Replacing Pep with someone on staff be an option. Like, okay, why
do it now?
But even if you do, like, you're probably going to move on from this entire offensive staff when the season's over anyways. So, like, you don't gain anything here. And you embarrass Pep. Like, not that I'm, saying that you should be looking out for Pep. It does nothing. It does nothing. You're not really trying to win. You're not capable of winning because you don't have the pieces to win. There's no point in firing Pep at right now. 4488, the season ticket holders were happy hearing that response. We don't want to win today. Season ticket holders embracing the suck, I guess.
I just think there should be a t-shirt. Maybe the Texans should pay for it.
The Texans should pay for it?
Yeah. Embrace the suck and understand the unimaginable for some people. Understand that if you do this now, it will pay big dividends later.
Mm-hmm.
Get on board.
I just don't understand the anger. Like, how is the anger not already there? I guess that's where my take's at. Like, I saw a lot of anger yesterday coming from what was another lousy performance from the Houston Texans and maybe one of the lousiest performances by the Houston Texans. I just don't understand why the anger is new. I guess that's where I'm curious, like where I'm left wondering. How is the anger anything new
from
what
you already should have had? Because this time they were thoroughly embarrassed.
Instead of just kind of embarrassed?
I think this was probably the roughest loss of the season in terms of the way it happened. Like,
sure. Like last year with Cully and then the Caserio headsets and the inability to manage the clock and your timeouts and your challenges and all these other – and the press conference where you know one guy says one thing. It was just a complete comedy of errors and frustration. Here, at least they've been competitive. We go back early in the season and say games they could have and maybe should have won that they didn't win.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know what? That's why all of a sudden yesterday, because of the way it went down, because they never had a competing fighting chance, that people got a little more frustrated.
I understand that they were embarrassed more than they've been embarrassed, but it's also a lost season. Like, if you get embarrassed in a lost season late in the season, whenever you already won wholesale changes for the next year, why does that make you so mad? Like, I just don't get that. Maybe I'm the idiot here.
There's that false sense of hope that they want.
Like, try hard. Why? Like, Davis Mills is the quarterback. Okay,
maybe because
you
the Cleveland
move on
game
anyways.
Is coming up, and that's their Super Bowl.
Maybe.
And they want them to at least have a fighting chance to win the one game that matters to everybody all season.
Explain it to me like I'm two. Why is there newfound anger? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
Because anger channeled the right way is good, son.
Yeah. Turn that anger into a positive.
And motivation.
All right. Brendan got asked on a date yesterday. Sales Guy Q makes his second appearance on the show. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang. If there's one thing I've learned after years on the track, it's that having the right amount of pressure in your tires can make or break performance. Properly inflated tires are essential to the health of your car and to keep you driving safely. Check your tire pressure once a month, especially before road trips, or stop by your neighborhood tire retailer for help.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 8489, I asked you to explain this to me like I'm two. Brendan had an interesting proposal yesterday. Get to that in a moment. I don't think the anger is new. I think it's been refueled because it was a joke of an on-field performance. The Commanders aren't that good, and they look like Super Bowl contenders against the Texans. They beat the Eagles.
They beat the Eagles, who were undefeated.
Yeah. Here's where, like, you know, this can actually be looked at as a positive. I know this sounds crazy, but I think that this can be looked at as a positive. Like, if your anger's been refueled, it still shows that you care. Like, and maybe that's where I'm at. Maybe I have so much, like, don't care about this team right now because I'm looking forward to April 27th in the NFL draft. I couldn't care less if this team won one game or three games. We all know my stance on that. It's the same thing, same with you. Like, it doesn't matter. The Houston Texans rebuild, 2023 success, 24 success, 25 success. Doesn't matter if interim head coach Lovie Smith wins one game this year or if he wins three games this year. But maybe from a fan base perspective, if we want to be like over the top optimistic, where we're, you know, the highway to hell, like, that it refueled anger shows that there's still some passion and care about the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I think that from the perspective of true Texans fans, they want to see progress. And they were being competitive. And, you know, and you look at it from individual positions as well as just the team itself. Damian Pierce looked like all rookie first team and more. Yeah. And one of the top five running backs in the league. And a guy that was just dominant. And he wasn't yesterday. And look, that's it, credit to Washington. Their defensive front is really, really good.
Sure.
But because he didn't perform well, Mills didn't perform well. And then, you know, the defense just got worked, and you dug a hole for yourself from the early stages and just you dropped an interception. They got one for a pick six. And it was just a comedy of errors that kept happening. It just sent everybody off in a very, very bad direction, basically saying, this is awful, and now I'm going to start voicing my opinion more.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's like, this is not going to be the same team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about this 22 version because the 23 version is going to be so much
different. You and I are realistic
different.
In knowing, like, a year ago, we knew that the team that started the season for the Houston Texans was just a stepping stone that wouldn't be around. Majority of those players were not going to be around for another year of this. Yeah.
Like, I get the competitive stuff, but, like, it's just a different team entirely in a year. Like,
and it's going to be even more different a year from now. Yeah. So, again, if you can see the big picture, it's the same why it was so hard to embrace the suck. Because they couldn't see the big picture. It was all about this week's game, wins and losses. You know, I need my Sundays full of victories just because. But I don't understand that one season of winning a little bit more than you should could set you back way more than embracing the suck for one more year and getting on a roll of having a good roster and a good schedule and have everything going your way. But that's kind of the way a lot of sports fans' mentality are.
All right, Brendan had an interesting proposal yesterday. Brendan, do you care to share
the way
interesting
you guys
proposal
set this up
with the Hive?
is just is not reasonable.
You don't think it's accurate?
You guys. Yeah, both of you. I didn't say the date. I just said, look, I mean, friends don't let friends get invites well after anyway,
why is
started.
It, why is this inaccurate? How is this not a...
But who uses the word proposal to refer to, like, proposal a friend after they want to go to the bar?
That's a proposal.
Nobody says that.
That's
nobody.
A proposal.
Anyways, yeah, Quentin, our sales guy, texted me yesterday at 12:05 to ask if I wanted to go out for
the afternoon.
The noon games.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not 12:05 in the morning. Yeah. I mean, yeah. No. He texted me like.
That's when he said, "You up?"
Basically. We're talking about proposals and dates. Yeah. You up?
He texted
you
up? What did he say? Basically at kickoff, asking if I wanted to go out to the bar to watch the games, and I wanted to bring it to the show because I wanted to know if that's a reasonable request. Like, I think that's insane. I think you
Nine
are
minutes?
Crazy if you ask somebody to go out to watch the games when their team's games already started.
I was going to say, like, if it was a full slate of late games, like yesterday, I believe it was 8 early games and 3 late games. Like, if your guys' teams were, he's a Chiefs fan. If the Lions.
That's why he asked, because his team didn't play the last night.
I mean, I was going to say, if you're playing in the late game window and or the Sunday night game, then maybe that's a reasonable request. When the majority of the games, including your game, start at noon and he's at 12:05 asking you if you want to go watch games,
yeah.
Don't you feel like your plan B?
I think my response is like, what are you doing? Like, why are you asking me now?
I feel like I need to know more information here.
Okay.
Like, what did he say? What was his response whenever you told him that he was crazy? Because, like, it depends on when sales guy Q, when he first knew he was going to go watch the game at a bar. Like, maybe
that's fair. That's
maybe
fair.
Maybe he didn't realize he wanted to do that until 12:05. Maybe he was at his apartment or whatever.
But he should have set that up from the very beginning.
Yeah, that's
hey,
why
man,
I want to know
just
what he
sitting
said.
Here on my couch, and I was thinking maybe it'd be more fun to be somewhere watching games. You want to go?
Exactly. Like, so, that's why I need to know more here.
I should be honest. His first text didn't actually ask if I wanted to go out. He did mention on Friday that he goes out for games sometimes and that, like, I should come one of the times. So, I guess to be fair to him, he texted me at 12:05 and said, hey, what's up? What are you doing for the first round of games?
And I don't see anything wrong with this. I feel like Sales Guy Q is being a gentleman here with this proposal.
Should
have
said it earlier.
You don't think it was.
And
you don't think it was an indecent proposal?
No, I think it was a decent proposal. Okay.
I said I would have come if you mentioned it earlier, but I'm watching the games at this point.
And so what did he say?
I'm still at home. I was out late.
There you go. Like, I think Q at 12:05 was like, you know what? I'm going to go out and watch this game. Oh yeah, I told Brendan to come out and watch games with me on Friday. I'm going to remind Brendan, hey, I'm about to do this. Why don't you come with me? I think this is totally look, and I'm not one to like bang on the table for Sales Guy Q, especially for. What's coming up this week? But yeah, I think that absolutely that he's fine with this proposal. I feel like he's being a gentleman here. I feel like he's being very kind.
You got to ask that earlier, man.
Like I get your point.
15 minutes earlier.
I get your point. I don't think he knew it to the moment.
He knows you're a Lions fan, so respectfully, he should have looked at the early game schedule to know if the Lions are playing, and set it up by going, "Hey, I know your team's playing right now. You might not want to go." But because right now the way it looks like was like your plan B. Like he was looking at doing some things with some other people that fell through. God, I don't want to sit here by myself. Maybe Brendan wants to go watch some football.
You know, I won't even say that. And Jeremy might be right. It very well may be. He was out late the night before. He probably wasn't sure if he was going to be up for going out.
Yeah.
I mean this sincerely, and maybe it's because I'm down here and you know back home this wouldn't happen. But. I don't know that anyone's ever asked me to, like, go out and watch a football game or, like, any sort of – obviously, like, a regular season basketball game or baseball game, whatever. But, like, a football game asked me while the game is going on.
I understand your
you
point
just don't
of view.
Miss, you don't miss a snap of football games. That's the way –
Well, like, you should have your own rule, too. Like, my rule is the people that know me best know, don't bother me. Don't send me text messages when my team's
I think you're harsher about it than me.
Yeah, I'm just – and I can be very harsh about it. Ask Jermaine about that. Sportsmap.com. When you decide to try and be funny during a bad moment, a down moment for my team, you're not going to get through and you're not going to be received well and you're probably going to be called out on it. But other than that, the people that know me best know there are times that we can chat and chat it up and talk about sports and other things. There are certain times, just don't bother me. That's one of those times. But if you're open to responding, maybe he thinks you're more of a casual.
And I don't know if he thinks he's a casual, but also, like, he could be viewing the Lions how a lot of people are viewing the Texans at this
point. Right. Your team's already, you're not going anywhere, so it's not as important of a game. So let's go watch it somewhere where you can drink your sorrows.
Hold on.
Until you beat the Giants.
The Lions have won 3 straight games.
They've won three straight.
They've won three straight games for the first time since 2017.
And the Texans are very thankful that they're doing that. They're very happy that Detroit's winning some meaningless games in late November.
Matter of fact, the Texans sent a thank you note to Las Vegas today.
Yeah. They did crack that four-game threshold where you don't pick in the first. There hasn't been a first overall team with four wins since 2003, I think.
Oh, people are crushing you on the text line, by the way, Brendan, which I don't disagree with. I feel like you're being a little unreasonable here. I understand your point.
I want to hear it. What do they say?
I'll tell you. 4965, do you not have friends that you would go watch football with? I don't understand the reaction. It sounds like a very normal thing. I think it is very normal for Q to ask this. I get that. I get that.
I understand Brendan's point that I'd like a little lead time because then maybe it might be fun to go out and watch games.
Sure, but I don't think Q had lead time. I think Q decided, spur of the moment at 12:05, hey, I'm going to go watch football. I'm going to go to the bar.
Than leave Brendan out because of the fact that the Lions are playing, I'm at least going to be respectful and say, hey, I'm going to make the offer. I understand your team's playing. You might not want to go.
Jeremy is right if that's the case. I think he woke up and decided last minute, I'm going
to
go.
And it didn't even have to be waking up late. I think he could just be like, okay, I turn on football at noon on a Sunday. You know what? I don't want to be cooped. I don't want to be all just inside the house, cooped up inside. I'm going to go to the bar. I want to have a good time. And then he said that. He realized that, made that decision on his own at noon. And he's like, you know what? I told Brendan about this. Let me ask Brendan. I think that's what happened.
If that is what happened, then I will step back and say it was reasonable.
We need to know more. 1538. Hey, Brendan, want to go see the Astros opening?
Plenty of time.
4965. Wow, I feel sorry for you guys. You need to get out more. 3478. You are too sensitive and putting too much thought into this.
It's radio.
I'm with 3478.
Honestly, I thought it was funny.
If somebody would have texted me that at 12:05, I'd have been like, nah, I'm good. I'm already watching the games, but thanks for the invite.
I wouldn't be upset about it.
And I don't want to hang out with you, sales guys. Q. I do that enough with you. So, guys, what's coming up in the wheelhouse today, Blankers?
I'm going to think that they're going to talk some football, and they might even work in some football. They're going to talk some Texans football. They're going to go around the league.
Are they going to be talking about international football?
Oh, Andrew Carlson's going to make sure that they talk a little bit because soccer matters.
Yeah, it does matter. It matters all the time. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. Never ask him to hang out and watch football with you. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll be broadcasting live tomorrow from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Swing on by. Say hello to us. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.